This is Christmas Day, a time set aside to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Some argue that Jesus was not really born on December 25th, and the signs in the Bible tend to support that theory. But the Bible does not mention the date of Jesus' birth, and it really makes no difference, since the intent is to celebrate who Jesus was, why he came to this earth, and what he did with his life. Some skeptics argue that Santa Claus on Christmas Eve somehow detracts from the birth of Jesus. But the Christmas Eve celebration that delights children does not have to detract from the celebration of Jesus' birth on Christmas Day. I hope you'll bear with me today as I revisit my own life and the blessings I've received. Confession is good for our souls. I don't know about you, but each year at this time, my mind wanders back to Christmas's past. Maybe you've had some of the same experiences, but bear with me because my early life was not a very bright picture. There were six of us children, five boys, one girl. My father's brother, William, lived with us for as long as I can remember, and with my mother and father, that made nine of us. Money was always tight. I've said before that I left for the Navy at the age of 18, and our family had moved in those 18 years 36 times. That's hard to believe, but it's true. Until I was 15, the houses that we lived in were small, cramped, and dilapidated. Christmas time was a welcome time because it brought with it some peace in our home. Financial pressure was great on my parents, and their arguments, fueled by alcohol, were epic. But at Christmas time, they tended to be calmer. A store-bought Christmas tree or an artificial tree was not part of our Christmas, since we couldn't afford them. We simply went into the woods and cut a small cedar tree and decorated it with popcorn and string. Children today expect, and most receive, multiple Christmas presents from Santa Claus. In our house, each child got one present and didn't expect more. There were usually bowls of fruit, apples, oranges, bananas, and grapes in the house. We had no air conditioning or forced heat in the house. What warmth there was came from a pot-bellied stove in what we called the living room. To get warm, we snuggled around that stove. The rest of the house was without heat, and at bedtime, there was a mad dash to get under the covers. Many nights saw us sleeping in our jeans and socks to stave off the cold. We knew that we were poor, but our neighbors were poor as well, and we just accepted that condition as our lot in life. Over a span of years, conditions improved, but our family never owned a home until I was 21 years old and living on my own. That first home my mother and father were able to afford cost them $17,000 and came with a second mortgage. My mother had to decide on a garage or a den, and she chose a den. I never noticed that there was no closet in my parents' bedroom. They got by with what we call a coat closet in the hall. There was no HVAC in that house either, but it was finally the end of the family's moving around. I was working in radio and most of the time far from home, and making very little money as a disc jockey. There was certainly income inequality in our lives, and definitely no white privilege. Children remember certain events they experience in life, and I was no exception. I remember a store owner in Elm City who denied my mother credit to get me a birthday present. It wasn't just the credit, but the snobbish way that he spoke to her. To her credit, my mother always paid her bills. She'd borrow from one finance company to pay off another and got deeper and deeper in debt. Around the age of 8, we found that I had a problem with the left hip from birth. I was put into the hospital in Wilson, and since we had no insurance, I was placed in a large room of mostly elderly men and remained there through Christmas. That was a terrifying experience for a young child, as the men were in pain and cried out during the day and especially at night. All I could do was hunker down under the covers and pray for the light of morning. That Christmas memory was the worst one in my life. When I went into the radio business, I was determined to make a better life for myself and for my family. The most important thing in my life has always been family, my parents, my siblings, and later my wife and daughter. When we hear people talk about income inequality, it should come as no surprise. My own experience is a case in point. I put myself behind the eight ball by concentrating my time in school on sports at the expense of my education. That meant that students who did apply themselves would have a much better chance at a higher income than I would. We dig our own holes in life. Income inequality is one of those holes, and they are hard to dig ourselves out of. It bothers me to hear the national discussion about how unequal incomes are, about how people working at the same jobs should receive the same pay. As someone who has hired more than 1,000 workers in my career, I can tell you that while the job title may be the same, it is seldom equal when it comes to how workers perform their tasks. Some come early and leave late. Some put in minimum effort and expect maximum pay. Others look for ways to be more valuable to the company. All of that is looked at when raises are being given out. In my case, I realized early on that I had dug a hole for myself, and I set about to educate myself. I was the first in to work and the last to leave. I'd tape record my voice and listen back until I could hear each word distinctly without a deep accent. My objective was planning ahead. The money I was being paid was not adequate for the work I was putting in and the hours, but I knew that eventually I'd have myself in position to rise up in the ranks. Slowly but surely, my income began to rise. I was given more responsibility and kept my nose to the grindstone. Too many people today complain about their working conditions and pay, but don't realize that they don't have to stay in that condition. Forget that you aren't being paid what you think you're worth, and hone your skills for a better job and pay, maybe even where you're working now. My Christmas memories include the time when I realized my dream of owning my own radio station. That had been my goal, but I didn't stop there. I got that first station with sweat equity because I didn't have the money to buy it. Sweat equity is when someone puts up the money, and your job is to make that business grow and succeed. For that, you receive a percentage of ownership, but only if you make the business a success. Eventually, I came to own 57 radio stations, over 13 states, as far west as New Mexico. That meant that I could put central air and heat in my parents' home. It meant that I could have a garage built for them. I could give my mother 3 closets in her bedroom and leave the coat closet for coats. When my father suffered a massive heart attack before he was 60 and could no longer work, I was in a position to send my parents a monthly check to make theirs a life of financial ease. Where my father had once signed a note to help me buy a car, I was now able to buy him a car and a small pickup for my mother and her work in ceramics. I say this not to brag, but to show how the sacrifices we make in life can make up for income inequality, and that when the day comes that we are able to make life better for our parents and siblings, it is a Christmas memory that lasts forever. If I could give advice to young people today, it would be to put education first in your life. Develop a skill and work day and night to be the best at what you do. Think long term and not of your circumstance today. Life is not fair. It does not hand us roses. At best, we learn to avoid the thorns. We have become a society that demands instant gratification. Too many won't work for what they call chump change, but chumps make chump change. To improve your lot in life, learn to make good choices. Community college may be a better choice than expensive universities. Welders, plumbers, and electricians will always be in demand. Graduating from a university with massive debt to repay and a degree that leads to nowhere creates your own income inequality. As we get older, our memories of Christmas past grow fonder, even those when we struggled just to survive. We dearly miss those who are no longer a part of our lives. My mother died in 1990, my father in 1995. Of the six children, three of the boys have passed away, and my sister is battling lung cancer that threatens to take her from us. Still, I have a daughter who is healthy and who has a good husband of 22 years. I have two wonderful, thoughtful granddaughters who are at the top of their classes in college and high school, and a wife of 53 years who I love beyond words. I am truly a blessed man. What started out as a hard scrabble existence has given way to many blessings from God. So it is with great anticipation that I look forward to Christmas each year, an opportunity to celebrate the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, an opportunity to say thanks for all the blessings received, and to give thanks for the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross. I have been privileged to walk the path that Jesus took to his crucifixion in Jerusalem. I have visited the site of the Christ child's birth in Bethlehem and walked on the hills of his youth in Nazareth. I have touched the waters of the River Jordan and stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. All of those experiences that I could never have dreamed of as a poor kid growing up in Wilson County have been by the grace of God. We are a blessed people, and on this day we kneel in prayer to celebrate the life of He who gave His own life, that we could confess our sins and receive forgiveness from our Father in heaven. Anne and I, our daughter Lisa, son-in-law Bob, and granddaughters Anna and Grace, wish you the merriest of Christmases and good health in the coming year. Thank you for listening to my commentaries. Thank you for the input that I get back from you, the feedback. I enjoy being with you each Monday at 3:15. Today, of course, is a special day, but all days should be special. All days should be days when we give thanks for the life of Jesus Christ, not just on Christmas. So thank you for listening today. I hope you and your family are celebrating, that you're having a great day, that you have a great dinner with family, and the warmth of this Christmas season surrounds you.